Well, there's two things in this world that's the most enjoyable we'll ever have and then doing in this world. And that's sitting here in the gospel like we just did. Listen to the gospel. Worshiping the Lord. And secondly, being with the Lord's people. The two most enjoyable things in this world. Everything else is just a burden. Everything else is just marking time. Clay, you bless me. Oh, my goodness. The gospel's so precious, so clear. Oh, thank you. Thank you for preparing. Thank you that you do that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. He stole about half my message. I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Sound like he stole all of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I remember two preachers got up, both of them. One of them preached from Romans 14, 9, where it says, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is judge of the quick and dead. And he made him Lord, and he's Lord of both the quick and the dead. The preacher got up and said, he stole my message. He said, he preached from the same place. He said, he took every outline I've got, so I'm going to have to start somewhere else. Had it just exactly what I needed. I'd hate to be in a situation like that. That'd be awful. You know what I'd do? I'd quit. I'd sit down and say, I ain't got time. I ain't going to say nothing. All right, let me start here in Romans 2:28 and read down and make a few statements this morning. But what my subject is, let God be true. Let God be true. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. It's in the spirit. And it's not in the letter. It's not by the law. Whose praise is not of men. If it's of the letter, if it's of the law, then men will be praised for it. But no, my God, this circumcision of the heart, God gets the praise, not man. And then they ask this question, what advantage then hath the Jew? If a Jew is not, if his circumcision of the heart is something that God does, what advantage then has the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? What profit is, what's it going to amount to? Much every way. And here's the main way, the chief way. Because that were committed unto them the oracles of God. God gave them his word. God gave them his, in the first five books of the Bible is what he's talking about, the oracles of God. And he said, well, what if some of them didn't believe what God gave to them, them oracles of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Make God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings, might overcome when thou art judged. You know, man is sinful, man's always looking for a way to clear himself and justify himself. He may use the scriptures, wrongly interpreted. May even use false doctrine. And the Jew or Gentile or anybody else are alike in this manner. They'll look at true doctrine, look at the Bible, and use it against God. And that's what these fellas did. That's what they're doing. What in the world is it going to profit us then if we can't be glorying in our own circumcision? What profit is that? And then they go on and they use the truth of God and turn it against it. Now look what he says there in verse 5. If our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what's that amount to? What are we going to say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? So they take true doctrine. True doctrine. And that's why Paul said, God forbid. If that's the way it is, how in the world will God judge the world? And that's what people do. You know, there was a fella talking to me recently, and the first thing he wanted to talk about was the tribulation. I said, don't believe it. Not like you mean it. That's a Baptist purgatory. 7 years, and after God takes the church out, and you have to stay here if you didn't live right and live for 7 years in the tribulation on this earth. That's a Baptist purgatory. If you endure that 7 years, then you get to go to heaven. They let you out and let you go. Then he brought up this thing, you know, I know that Pentecostals and I know that Armenians are saved. They just don't know that they're saved eternally. And needless to say, that didn't go over very well. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, men will look at the Bible, and he talked about election and sovereignty, and said he believes all that, and then turns around and says Armenians are saved and Pentecostals are saved. And he says in verse 7 here, and he said, if the truth of God abound more through my lie, me lying, and God gets more to glory out of me lying, why does he turn around and judge me as a sinner? And I tell you, you know, and that's what he asked. What if some didn't believe? Because they don't believe, does their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Make God's work, make God's truth, make God's gospel without effect? Oh, God forbid. Will their unbelief make God a liar? Because they don't believe, does that make God a liar? That's what they want to do. They put their reason in the place of God's Word. And he goes on to say here, you know, in whose damnation is just. Whose damnation is just. When people hear what we believe and preach, I've had this asked so many times over the years. When people hear what we believe and preach, what about all the religious people on foreign lands and all over the world and don't believe like you do, are they lost? Are they lost? Are they lost? And you know, if they don't believe like we do, you reckon they're lost? If they don't believe salvation is by grace, yes. If they don't believe salvation is by Christ, yes. Are they lost? Well, I look what he says then. He said, not of, in verse 8, not rather as we slanderously be reported, as some even say that we say, let us do good, evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. And that's what they say. If I believe what you believed, I believe I could do anything I wanted to and still be saved. I do exactly what I want to do. And oh, listen, about all the religious people on foreign lands who don't believe like you do. Well, there's three things. Let God be true and every man be a liar. There's three things we must face, and everybody will either face it in grace or face it in judgment. God's immutable sovereignty. God is sovereign. He rules and reigns on this earth. Nothing moves, nothing rises, nothing wiggles apart from God Almighty. He's the first cause of everything that happens in this world. God Almighty, before the world ever began, before there's anything that ever... You know when God said in the beginning? You know when the beginning was? When God said. When God said, that was when the beginning was. God said. God said. Let's let God be true. God said. And I tell you, God's immutable sovereignty. And I tell you, I love God's immutable sovereignty. I mean, you talk about giving some comfort and giving us some assurance. I mean, there's people going through a lot of things, and I've been through things, some of you have, and what would we have done had we not known that God was the first cause of everything? Huh? Oh, my. And I tell you, men may not like it, they may not rejoice in it, but that ain't going to change God one iota. What man thinks about him ain't going to change him. It ain't going to make him any less sovereign. It ain't going to make him any less powerful. And then here's the second thing man has to face. Either in grace or in judgment, man's utter and absolute ruin. Man was born. Like he said, you don't have to do nothing to become a sinner. And you don't do nothing to become righteous. And I tell you, man is ruined. He was born, he said, man is born lost. Man is born a sinner. Man drinks iniquity like it's water. God confronts him, the sparks fly upward. You know, God Himself, you know, men raise their hands against God and say, I'll have God, but I'll have Him on my terms. I preached about that rich young ruler last week, and he wanted to be saved. He's come running, he come kneeling, and he come to Christ and said, what must I do? He wanted to be saved, but he wasn't going to be saved on Christ's terms. And if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved on the terms of God Almighty and Christ. We're not going to, he ain't going to bargain. God don't bargain with anybody. And he ain't going to start bargaining now. And people talk about chance. God's got to give every man a chance. I've heard I don't know how many times. God's given every man a chance. Well, listen, he didn't start in Las Vegas and started showing dice to give people a chance. He's not a gambler. God's not a gambler. And you need a heap sight more than a chance. You need salvation. You need the power of God to be made willing in the day of His power to make you willing. Man's ruined. I mean, he's born that way. He'll live that way and he'll die that way. He's got a heart that's against God. He said, we've proved before both Jew and Gentile. What are they? All under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. There's none. And all man's ruined. And here's another thing, a third thing we got to face, either in grace or in judgment. God's purpose, and God has a purpose. Everybody's ever saved, this is the thing that God taught me the gospel with when I started looking at the Bible and said, God done things on purpose. Oh, well, I said, God, somebody said, God does things on purpose. And that's exactly what He does. He had a purpose in redeeming sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saved, everybody saved is saved on purpose. You know, Christ died to save a people, and He saved those people on purpose. And God didn't say that and said, twiddle His thumbs, said, I'm going to give that fellow a chance. No, no. If I say we're saved on purpose, thank God for God's purpose. Oh, what answer can we give then about these three things? God's immutable sovereignty, man's ruin, God's purpose in redeeming sinners. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, let's lie on God so He can get more glory. Let's sin more that He can get more glory. Oh my. Well, what answer can we give? Where can we get an answer that will answer this question? How in the world, why people don't believe like us are not saved, no matter where they live on this earth? What answer can we give? One place, the Scriptures, God's Word. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. I want you to look at something before I get in my message. Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20. Look what it says over here. You know, I found out, a fellow told me one time, God doesn't use a lie to save a sinner. He don't use a lying preacher to save a sinner. He doesn't do it. He don't have to lie. God don't have to, and you know God's Word. And I said this, you know, your husband preached last week on the two Adams. And I was listening to that, and he's preaching on Jonah. You know, the well-swallowing Jonah. But I said this one time, I believe if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the well, I'd believe it. Because that's what God said. That's how convinced I am that this is the Word of God. Look what he said here in Romans 8, I'll get it in a minute. Isaiah 7:8. To the law and to the testimony. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. There's no light in them. Don't speak according to God's Word. Now, people say all the time, I never will forget one time the fellow's dead and gone now. He said, I just, you know, God's got to give everybody a chance. God's got to give everybody a chance. And I just can't hardly believe what you all are believing and what you say. Somebody said, well, what we believe gives God's all the glory. All the glory. Can we give God too much glory? The fella got up and walked out of the house and never had another conversation with him. But oh my, but according to the Word of God, no one's saved except they be born again. Let God be true. Nobody's saved lest they be born again. You know, in John 3, people want, you know, they want, like that fellow said, you know, I know that the Armenians and the Pentecostals are saved. They just don't know they're saved eternally. But oh my, look what he said here. You reckon God would do a man that way? Look what he's, you know, a man has to be regenerated. He has to be born again. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he was out and this man came to him by night. And he talked and bragged on the Lord Jesus Christ, was bragging on him and saying good things about him, but Nicodemus did. And our Lord answered him. He said, quit talking about me. He said, I want to talk about you and what shape you're in. Truly I'm saying to you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can see baptism. He can see church membership. He can see Armenianism. He can see free will. He can see a decision. He can see baptism. He can see 1,000 things. But he can't see God's kingdom in Christ. And he said, oh my. Nicodemus said, how in the world can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And that's what you're talking about. The natural man, he don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And our Lord said unto him, I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you, except man be born of the water. And he's talking about the Word of God. And of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can't get in. That which is born of the flesh. Oh my, rotten, stinking flesh. And that that's born of the Spirit becomes a spiritual man. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And that wind blows where it will. And you hear the sound of the wind, but you can't tell where it's coming from. And that's the way everybody born of the Spirit. And I'll say this, when a man's born again, when he's regenerated, God brings into existence, when he saves him and he's born again, God brings into existence a man who never existed before. That's what you was talking about. He brings into existence a man that never was there before. That was a man that was nothing but flesh. And God regenerates him and saves him and gives him the new birth. And he becomes, there's a man inside him that never existed before. And that man inside him is a spiritual man. Huh? Oh my. Raised from the dead, you who are dead in trespass, in if he quickened. You know in Ezekiel 16, that infant that was cast out, laying there in his blood. You know what God said when he passed by? He passed by and he said, live, I say unto thee, live. And you know what happened? He lived. He took Ezekiel out, set him in the middle of a bunch of dry bones. I mean, as far as you can see, dry bones. Dead dry bones. He says, son of man, can these bones live? Lord, you're the only one knows that. That's what I'm looking at. I don't know. But, oh, can these dry bones live? Lord, thou knowest. Preach to them. What do you want me to say? Why won't we preach a bunch of dry bones? But that's what we've been doing that all our life. I've been doing that 45 years. But he said, oh, preach to them. What are you going to say? Well, live. And he said, tell the Spirit to come. I can't. The Lord sends the Spirit. But what I'm saying is, that God's got to do the work. But the thing he uses is the gospel. Christ told Nicodemus, without this new birth, you're nothing but flesh. You're rotten, corrupt, stinking flesh. And I tell you what, it's Lazarus. Our Lord stood outside a grave and his sister said, Lord, he stinks. We don't want to be embarrassed by his smell. We don't want people to see our brother in such a condition. Oh, please, don't take that stone away. They said, take it away. Lazarus! Been dead 4 days. Come forth! And he that was dead came forth. Oh, faith doesn't give life. Repentance doesn't give life. Christ gives life. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives life. And I tell you what, if nobody's saved, let God be true about that. Nobody's saved without the new birth. I don't care if they're a Chinese or they're where they're from, or if they're from Thailand or Vietnam or America in a Baptist church. Nobody's saved unless they're born again. And I tell you what, the new birth. What did I have to do with my first birth? Absolutely nothing. Had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with the color of eyes I was going to have. I had nothing to do with the stature. Had nothing to do with the color of the hair I'm going to have. I had nothing to do with what my first birth. And you know why I didn't have nothing to do with my first birth? Because somebody else, I was conceived by somebody else and conceived by my father and my mother. And everything that I am come from them. And everything that I am spiritually come from the loins of Christ. Come from the seed of Christ. That incorruptible seed. That's what everything that I am spiritually come from the seed of Christ. I love it. Well, anyway, let's go to another one. Let God be true and every man be a lie. I tell you the second thing. Nobody is saved who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody saved does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people, you know, our Lord said, except you believe I'm He, you shall die in your sins. You'll die in your sins. You know, look over at 1 Corinthians. He was just over there a minute ago. Now, people like to believe, you know, they'll say the gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's historical facts. That's historical facts. But I tell you what, not just the historical facts, but trust a living person, a living Lord. Look what he said here in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. I'm only telling you what God gave me. How that Christ died for our sins. How did He die? According to the Scriptures. How do we know that? Because you go back and look at the Passover. It's the Lamb of God. And then he goes on down here to say, and that he was buried. They buried him. He was a dead man and they buried him. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Yeah, let God be true. It's not just the facts of his burial, not just the facts of his resurrection, not just the facts of his ascension. And I tell you what, if a man doesn't believe Christ and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no salvation apart from that. If I had one opportunity and able to be preached to thousands of people, the one thing I would preach is there's only one Savior in this world. Only one Savior. Only one man that can save a sinner. Only one man that's got the power. Only one man that's got the right. Only one man who was sinless. Only one person that you'll have to face in this world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not the Pope, not the Catholics, not the Pentecostals, not anybody else. There's only one Savior in this world. And that's Jesus Christ.
And I tell you, that's, people say, well, He's one of the ways.
No. You see that? You ever seen that thing? Ever seen that thing that people put on the back of their bumpers, you know? Let us coexist. I'm not going to coexist with people that hate God and hate Christ. People that would murder you because you believe on Jesus Christ. No. I tell you, that's, if there's one thing that this generation has got to know, one thing that we ever get, every opportunity we get, that there's no way in the world a man can be saved unless he knows Jesus Christ and trusts Jesus Christ and Him alone. And then not Christ and you. Well, if you'll cooperate, no cooperation effort. He's all the Savior and the only Savior, and He has to save you from the day He saves you, and He has to keep you saved until He carries you to glory. And look, you preached last night about Him, you know, and all the things that He does for us and bears us. This is how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. He talked about upholding us and bearing us from our mother's belly till we get to old people and get gray-headed, and He carries us to our old age. I tell you, Christ is so glorious and so powerful and so blessed that He can carry all of His people at one time. He's got the government on this shoulder, got all of His people on this end. And He's so glorious and so majestic and so powerful and so precious and so blessed that He can carry every single one of us at the same time and make it feel like we're the only one He's carrying. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. Is Jesus my Lord? Oh, what a Savior. Thank God. Thank God He brought me to that place. And I tell you what, He's the only Savior of sinners. And God hath put everything in this world in the Son, His Son's hands. Huh? And I heard Tim James preach one time. He said, you know, he said, no man's able to pluck them out. You're in my hands and in my Father's hands and in my hand. And he said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. And he said, you got a two-fifths of salvation. You're in Christ's hands and you're in God's hands. That's two-fifths of salvation. I heard a fellow say one time, well, you can get yourself out of it. Who in the world would want to? Who wants to leave? Who ever got away from a hog lot and feeding on hog food and had sheep food and won't go back to the hog lot? Oh, my. So we're talking about, you know, if people don't believe like you all over the world, and they don't believe like you do, are they not saved? Are they not saved? I tell you, not a man's not saved, not born again. Man's not saved who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a man's not saved. Now listen to me. A man's not saved who has not heard the gospel. Not heard the gospel. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. Not another. He said, and if I or an angel from heaven come preaching another gospel, you let God damn him. That's what he's saying. Let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. And I tell you what, beloved, the gospel can be defined. Do you know that? Look in Romans chapter 1. The gospel can be defined. I remember years ago, and I was preaching in a place, and I was learning the gospel and preaching the gospel enough that people lined up and said, if what you're saying so, I'm lost. And if what you're saying so, my mom and daddy's lost. And I never said about anybody being lost. I just preach the gospel. That's what the gospel does. It either put you in Christ or put you out of Christ. And I tell you, the gospel can be defined. Look what he says here in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're just all servants called to be an apostle. Look what he said here. Separated under the gospel of God. Separated under the gospel of God. Here's the first thing about the gospel. He had promised it. God promised the gospel. Where did he promise it at? In the Old Testament. The first promise was when I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. That's the first gospel. And oh my. And he promised it afore by the God, by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Isaiah, you read Isaiah 53? That's the gospel. If I had a creed, people say, what's your creed? You all have a constitution. I have a creed and I have a constitution, both in our congregation. You know what they are? Isaiah 53. Huh? Who hath believed our report? I have. I believed it. I believed it. But oh my, and then look what he goes on to say. And that's the gospels in the old. The ark, the Passover lamb, the tabernacle, all the things that he mentioned it. And then, listen, this gospel is concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And oh my, it's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, look what he goes on to say. That's what I mean. That's why we find Christ in the Scripture, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. God told David, said, I'm going to put somebody on your throne and they're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. And then when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, David's over there in his grave. So, who is this son of David he's talking about? There he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. You by wicked hands crucified him and slain him. But you know what God did? Raised him from the dead. Now you're going to have to face him. Going to have to face him. And then he goes on to say this. Declared. That's what we do. We declare. People get up and say, I'm going to share the gospel with you. Listen, we can share a meal. We can share water. We can share a Pepsi. But we're not going to share the gospel. The gospel is a declaration. The gospel is a proclamation. And that's what we're doing. We're declaring something. And he declared to be the Son of God with power. Power, all power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Christ. And all according to the Spirit of holiness, that God's holiness itself raised Christ from the dead. Oh, my. And I tell you, beloved, the gospel, and this is, the gospel is how God can be just and justify sinners. Now, here's the situation, and I had to face this. Here I am. I started out in legalism and self-righteousness and fundamentalism. Self-righteous from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I heard the gospel, and the gospel began to strip me and humble me and teach me some things. And then I got to face this condition. How in the world can God take me, a sinner, inside, outside, top to bottom, heart, body, and soul, how can God take a sinner like myself and save me and make me righteous and stay God and stay holy and stay just? How can He do that? How can God take me? And I mean, I've got no qualms about it. God says I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by experience. Born what? And how in the world can God take a sinner and save him and stay God, stay just, and stay holy, and stay righteous? How can He do that? How can He? Will He let down His law? Will He give him an opportunity?
How can God do that? How can God do that? He said, I'm a just God and I'm going to save you. How can it be a just God to save you at the same time? I think there's 3 points to the gospel. First of all, you've got to address man as he is. A sin. He's sin. He's not just a sinner. He is sin. It's a nature. And the second thing in the gospel is this. Since you're a sinner and God's going to be just and justify us, we need a substitute. We've got to have somebody, bless His name, we've got to have somebody take our place. Either you got to die for your sin or somebody's got to take your place. And God, bless His name, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The Lord, Jehovah, made His soul an offering for sin. And when John saw Him, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And oh my, the Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross. God nailed him to a tree. Took my sin. Put it upon that holy body. Put it on that man that's holy, just and righteous. Put it on him. And God forsook him. God forsook him. Oh my. So I'm a sinner, but God put somebody in my place. He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And then the third thing is satisfaction. This to me is the most precious thing in the gospel. That God looked at what He did to His Son. And He looks at the sinner. And He said, you trust my Son. You look to my Son. And I'm satisfied with everything He did. You trust Him. You'll be satisfied too. But satisfaction. I can go to bed tonight. And if I don't wake up in the morning, I'll wake up in glory. Because God is never, ever going to ask me for anything else. Christ satisfied Him in every way. Now, God stayed holy. God stayed just. And He put a person. He sent Christ forth as a propitiation through faith in His blood. And then when our Lord said, it's finished, that was it. God raised Him from the dead. I'm satisfied with Him. He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. Oh my. Let me show you this in Ephesians 1. I'll hurry. I don't mean to take too long. But I can't get over this. This gospel does something for me that nothing this world does. If I keep preaching this morning, you just prime the pump. Just prime the pump. Prime the pump. Look what He said here in Ephesians 1:12. The gospel of how God can be just and justify sinners. Oh my. That we should be to the glory, praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now listen to it. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There comes a day when you hear the gospel and you hear the word of truth, and then it becomes the gospel of your salvation. Nobody else's, but yours.
It becomes yours. And look what he goes on to say now. In whom after that you believed, God comes along and he puts a seal on you. Puts a seal on you. You know, with the seal of the United States, seal of the great state of Indiana, seal of the great state of Tennessee, seal of the United States. And he, God comes along and he takes his, I'm going to put a seal on you. Why? The foundation of God standeth sure. Why? Because he hath put a seal on all his people. I got a stamp on my head. You know what? The only person can know that's there is God. He sealed me. Put his mark on me. And he goes on to say this. With the Holy Spirit of promise, the gospel. I'll tell you what, a man saved who's not heard the gospel. I believe that with all my heart. I do. And then here's another thing. Clay said this. But who's ignorant? Here's a man can't be saved who's ignorant of the righteousness of God. If a man's ignorant of God's righteousness, and I tell you what, so many people are. You know, I tell you what, the righteousness that God gives to us. He said, if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Now, I just told you how God could be righteous and just and save a, and justify a sinner. But here's the thing about it. God, I don't know how to say this, but other than just to say it. God makes us righteous. He makes us that new person that's inside of us, that new creature that God made. That man is a righteous man. And he loves righteousness. He loves the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that I've got a righteousness of my own. Not only does God impute righteousness to us, but he makes us the partaker of the divine nature. And he gives us his nature in us. I heard a fellow say one time, that's not right. And I tell you, he's a preacher, and he's still pastoring the church, has for years. But I said, there's not way it can be two natures. And I said, listen, what nature does a man understand the Bible with? The natural man don't do it. What nature do you call on God with? What nature do you hear the gospel with? What nature makes you love Christ? If there ain't but one nature. A man thinks he's only got one nature. There ain't but one nature a man's born with. Right? What nature in the world, what nature in that... I think you all understand what I'm saying. Oh, boy. As old Scott used to say, let a man have his poison. Let him have his own poison. I ain't going to drink it. It's just like this water right here. If I put the lid off of this, and this is why the gospel is so important, and a person drops one drop, just a drop, of arsenic or some poison in that, it ceases to be water. It becomes poison. And you put one drop of man, one iota of man, in the position of Jesus Christ in the new birth, you put anything in that position, and you're giving people poison. Huh? Giving people poison. All right, and I'm going to finish with this. No one saved who doesn't continue in the faith. They went out from us. Why did they go out from us? Because they were not of us. They're not of us. Hebrews 10. Let me show you this. Hebrews 10. Down verse 38. Oh my, those who don't continue in the faith. These all died in the faith. He said, preacher, have you ever quit? Oh my goodness, I've 1,000 times. I don't know how many times I'd go say, I'm going to tell them I'm done. and I get up and preach, and I get up and do it again. A man, Clay, you understand this, and you other preachers understand this. When you can get up and preach, when there's nothing but darkness, you're in nothing but darkness, and you ain't nothing but the flesh, and you're in a great fight of afflictions, and you can still get up and preach and honor God, that means that you're called of God. Anybody can preach when they're feeling good, but when you're not feeling good, and when you're about that low, you have to look up to see the space for you. When you're that low, and you still get up and preach, and you get out of the pulpit, and you're as dark as you was when you went in, but you keep on going, you keep on going. That's what we call continuing in the faith. Some of these folks I've known here since the 70s. Continue in the faith. Oh my, look what he said here in 10:38. 39. Let's see, I'm in 11. Let me go back to 10. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It don't make us feel good to see people walk away from the gospel. It don't make us feel good for folks to leave. It don't. I have no pleasure in that. Lose sleep over it. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe, bless His name, to the saving of the soul. We believe until we enter glory. Our Lord Jesus said, He spake to the Jews and He said, "You are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word." In my word. There's some of you folks in here, you've been continuing the faith for years and years and years and years. And you know, I really believe that if you have this gospel, heard this gospel, I truly believe that you continue in the faith, you'll die in faith. And you'll enter into glory. And faith will need no more. Huh? Well, as people saved don't be like we do, let God be true. Every man be alive. Appreciate y'all very much. Thanks for having me, friend.